Well, it's certainly good to again be back with you here at the church at Nashville. It's a joy to see each of you and to again, it seems like it's been 100 years since I've been here, and it's certainly good to see you again. Appreciate Brother John's public prayer and the prayer you've offered in your heart. And I enjoyed so much being with Brother Ronald Lawrence this afternoon. I told him, you know, he just preached our fall meeting last November. It's just been 11 months, and it seems like it's been 5 years ago since he was down there. So it seems the same way with you. I know I said this here one time before, but anytime they say anything about me coming to Nashville, I'm like a bucking bull trying to get out of a stall. I'm ready to go. So don't call me and ask me to come if you don't want me to, because I love to come here, and I have always enjoyed this church, and I know I was coming here way before Brother Ronald, way before Brother Lonnie. Those guys are newcomers. So I'm glad that I've been coming here longer than either one of them. So, but it has always been a great joy and privilege of mine to be able to get to come. I don't know if Brian was even here back in those old days, see? But it's always been a joy to me to get to come here to this church at Bethel. And I trust that you would remember. I did able to see some of you last night down at the church at Wilson Creek. I appreciated the efforts you made in coming down there. It always gives me chill bumps to see people that would drive someplace to hear me preach, because, my, they must not have had much to do tonight. But I trust that I know why they come. It's not so much to hear me to preach. They're coming because they want to serve the Lord. And there's a group of his people that's getting together down at Wilson Creek, and they had the opportunity to go, and the Lord blessed them to do it, and he blessed us for their being there. Direct your attention to a verse of scripture that's found in the 122nd Psalms, Psalm 122. The psalmist David said that I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Now I'll tell you, I know that we come to the house of the Lord because we're responsible people, and we're duty bound, and we love the Lord, and certainly we want to go to the house of the Lord when it's there. Brother Kent, you're very faithful to come to the house of the Lord. But David said something here even stronger. He said, I was glad. I was tickled to death to get to go to the house of the Lord. And we're living, our lives were also busy. We just got hurdle after hurdle. And we have church, and we plug that right in, and we make that hurdle. And boy, here we go. We're going down through life, and we're just mowing them down. But the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only movement that the Lord ever left in this world, he came from heaven's glory and came here and set up his kingdom in this world and left this world and went back to his Father. And he left the movement of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's different than all of the other Johnny-come-latelys that's been the things that's carried on in this world. It's the church. It's what he's left us. And so whenever we can't look at it as just another hurdle, we can't look at it as just something else I've got to do. Don't let me miss my steps here. I've got to make all these appointments and all these things. And when church comes, I'll do that and I'll do that. I'll tell you, it's just going to dominate our mind. It's time we get to go to the house of the Lord. And I was glad whenever they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. If we preachers could communicate, if we would so have that thought about church ourselves. Sometimes we get in these humdrums, and but if we can have that very thought, that I was just so happy. I was glad, Brother Smith, when they said, let's go up to the house of the Lord. He said, our feet shall stand within the gates of old Jerusalem. Yes, he's referring to Jerusalem here as the church. And can you imagine the opportunity that's afforded you tonight, that you can actually go to the church and stand in Jerusalem and you can hear the statutes of the Lord? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's everything you need to make all those hurdles. It's everything you need in order to meet the foe daily in this old world in which you live. It's found in the walls of Jerusalem. A brother like Brother Ronald and other good ministers that's come here to preach to you. I was talking to an old man, an old preacher one time, and I had just been ordained, and he was telling me, he said, well, son, he said, one thing I've always tried to do in my preaching, he said, I've tried to plow the whole field. And he said, you know, you can't just get in one direction and one thing. He said, you got to plow the whole field. He said, you got to plow out all the corners. Well, I wasn't much of a plow boy myself, you know, but he was telling me how that, it was a good concept, I understood. And he said, every little while, he said, I just cut right through the middle. And I go right through and tell them some more about grace. So Brother Ronald and the other good ministers who's preached to you here over the years has been able to plow the whole field, I feel very confident. They've been able to present to you the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, taught you in every way that you should live, and the things that you do that would give honor and glory to God. And the way you live is one of the greatest ways that you can give the honor and the glory to God, is your personal, everyday, going to work life. When you can be the type of person that God would have us to be, that this book has instructed us to be that kind of person. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Whether Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. There's no other place. We can have all kind of social clubs. We can have all kind of organizations. We can have movements for this and movements for that. But there's no other place that should be like the church. It's a different place than the things and movements of this world. The Lord set this one up. And it's a different place, and it should be different. It says we're compact together. Oh, my. We are all of, you know, we have different lives and different backgrounds. And while we have many times a different thought process, we have, you know, different interests and so forth, but we need to realize that we have one common goal and fellowship, is that we love the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we have this common picture of Christ that so much of the world does not have. They believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they worship him, but to be able to worship the Lord with someone with the common belief is a very precious thing. I remembered that talking about people having different opinions of Christ. I picked up a book in a bookstore a few years ago, and the book was a nationally recognized preacher. He's dead now. But he was in one of the chapters, I always turn through that. I'm like Brother Ronald taught me to be thrifty, and I don't just buy a book unless I kind of skim it, you know, make sure it's something that I am interested in, how the writer writes and so forth. And so I was turning through there, and one of the chapters was titled A Picture of Christ. Well, I started skimming it, and right in the beginning of it, it started talking about this man named Sam Rayburn. And this man named Sam Rayburn, and that he was not a child of God. And it talked about that he had, and I knew Sam Rayburn had joined our church. I mean, the church up at north of us at Otasco, Texas. And I thought, well, I mean, I'll read on and see what the brother's got to say. And I read on, and he said that while he was attending the Dallas Theological Seminary, that Sam Rayburn, which was the Speaker of the House of Representatives, served in Congress, I think, over 30 years, and was the most powerful man, according to the magazines and the ratings of that day, that he was the second most powerful man in the world behind the President of the United States. In fact, he was third in line for the presidency. And he started talking about Sam Rayburn had cancer, and Sam Rayburn was in a Dallas hospital. I don't know where I got off on all this. It's not part of my makeup here, but I'll tell you. Sam Rayburn was in a Dallas hospital, and he said he was dying with cancer. And he said these men that was training to be preachers that was going to the Dallas Theological School, they made their rounds to the hospital. And so in going by to see the people in the hospital, well, this Sam Rayburn's in here, they go in to see Sam Rayburn. And Sam Rayburn had had the president had come to see him. The Queen of England had been to see him. They had had from all over the world, people were coming to see Sam Rayburn, because it was obvious that he was in his last days. And they said that this man knew that Sam Rayburn was not a child of God, because whenever the young preachers-to-be would explain to him about Jesus Christ, that Sam Rayburn made the statement that I don't know that Christ you're talking about. So I read the book to make sure that they got the quote down. Sam Rayburn said, I don't know the Christ you're talking about. And so they go right out and tell the world that Sam Rayburn is going to hell because he doesn't know Christ. But what he said was that he didn't know the Christ that they were talking about, because they were presenting a Christ to him that was different than the Christ that he saw in this book. It was different. So to be able to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that works his will in the army of heaven among the inhabitants of the earth, and one that is not a beggar trying to get man to cooperate with him, but we believe in a Savior that came into this world to save his people, and he did exactly that. You know, they later, when Sam Rayburn, I have a big book at home called Mr. Sam, and Mr. Sam talks about the time that, he wasn't talking about it, it was the book about him, and about the time that he did join the church, and he took off his shoes and on the back row, and he came down here and joined the church. He took off his shoes, and as Moses did, saying, this is holy ground. He believed that strongly about the church. And whenever Sam died, I remember back in those days, they had old black and white TVs. It was about 63 or 2 or 1 that he died. So you see, I'm not very knowledgeable. But I remember seeing a picture on TV. I was just a young boy, and didn't mean much to me, and I didn't even watch it. But it was the first nationally televised funeral that the country had ever had. We didn't have those TV news people like we have nowadays, and this was the first time we'd had this funeral on TV, and NBC and CBS, ABC, well, they were scared to death, because they didn't know what was going to happen. This was a primitive Baptist. And so they were concerned about that. They asked Brother Ball, Elder Ball conducted the funeral. And Elder Ball, they asked him for a copy of his sermon. And Brother Ball said, well, I don't have a copy of it. And you don't have a copy of it? He said, no, I haven't preached it yet. And so they asked him, well, could we get a copy of the prayer? He said, well, I haven't prayed it yet. I don't have a copy. The Lord blessed him masterfully to go before that national television audience and to be able to honor the God of heaven about a man who did believe in Jesus Christ. And later on, Iris and I were down in Austin one day looking through the L.B. Johnson, LBJ's library, and there was a glass case there, and underneath that glass case there was a handwritten note, and I was so stupid I don't even remember who wrote it, didn't write it down, but I wrote down what it said. This guy wrote Lyndon Johnson a handwritten note, and he said, Lyndon, it was good to see you at Sam's funeral, although I did not get to talk to you. And he went on to say that little country preacher talking about Brother Ball, he said that little country preacher was daring as a Hebrew prophet as he presented his heavenly message before earthly kings. I thought, man, that was just right. I couldn't have worded it any better than that. And I, of course, copied that down right quick, but I couldn't get to the signature. I wouldn't have been that dumb. But anyway, Iris and I were back there a few months ago. In fact, I tried to find it. They said, well, they moved those things around, and they moved them around and said, if you'll tell us, you know, something about it, we can probably find it. It's in these archives somewhere. But someday, I have time, we'll go back and see who wrote that note. But I was just telling you that to tell you that everybody in the world of good Christian people doesn't have the same opinion of the Lord Jesus Christ that you have been blessed to be able to see because of having the Lord blessed you with it over the years to have a good gospel minister to teach and preach, or either you have found it yourself in this book. So many people, and I'm so thankful that we are not dependent upon the preacher. It's wonderful that Brother Ronald can preach so good, but you can take this book and find the same stuff Brother Ronald can. It's in here. The Lord blessed him with a gift to be able to teach it and to preach it to people, but you can find the same stuff that he finds in this book. I have a lady who works for me at our church, and she's a Catholic. I say, boy, you're crazy, aren't you? No, I'm not. She's a fine lady. She's a fine lady, and she's a member of the Catholic Church. And, of course, in her being involved with me, well, she certainly, you know, knows a lot more about our people now. But one day we were talking about something, and I quoted a scripture, and she said, don't start quoting scripture to me. She said, I'm a Catholic. We don't know anything. Said we only know what they've told us. You know, we don't know anything about the Bible. And she was amazed when I had a story to tell her about. Well, don't you know the story? I don't remember what it was about. So and so knows. Said I don't know that. But anyway, she's a wonderful lady. But what a great blessing it is to be able to fellowship and have love and fellowship one with another. Said Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together. Whether the tribes go up, the tribe of the Lord, and to the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. So we come together to Jerusalem, a compact city here, to give thanks unto the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment and thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sakes, I will now say peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord, our God, I will seek thy good. The Lord is out to seek your good because it's the house of the Lord. It's something that no other place like this in the city of Nashville. Well, there's the other churches like this, and I don't mean to say, but you come here and you have this great common thread amongst you. So what a great joy that is. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up unto the house of the Lord. It's such a joy. I know that you have had many wonderful blessings here in this church building. And if you are blessed to continue to and go forward and you build another structure, the church that's here is going to get up and to move out there. You know, the church won't go until you go. And when you go, David said, I was glad whenever they said, let me go to the house of the Lord. We ought to be so thrilled to be able to get to go. I was visiting with Brother Ronald a little while ago, and I know that in all churches there's probably different opinions about, you know, maybe we should or maybe we should not, or, you know, build a building and so forth, and I'm not into what's best for Nashville Church. But I know that about 20-something years ago now, we built a new building. And it was it's been such a blessing to us ever since then. I was telling Brother Ronald how it's just been the center of our of our whole church family. And here in this section, this is my third church to be in 3 days. I preached at Jackson Church in Jackson, Tennessee, no, wherever they are, Mississippi, Friday, and then Wilson Creek yesterday and over here today. They have different customs over here. People, they just move slower, you know. They'll stay longer, but they don't get there as quick. And I was telling Brother Ronald that, you know, at different things, but sometimes it would be better maybe if we could be so happy to get to the church. I was glad when they said, let's go up to the house of the Lord. But you know, there's no use getting here at 10:20 if nobody else is here. You might as well. But you know, somebody can be first. We started our church services now. They think it's in Romans or somewhere that you got to meet at 10:30, but I don't think it is. I couldn't find it. So now we've been starting our church service at 10:15 for a good long while, and by 9:45, we have a pretty good group of folks there that are drinking coffee in the mornings and visiting our parlor area and talking about the things of the week and so forth and so on. And then time singing gets started. And of course, we still have mothers with young children that's got to get them together. Now, my mother was not, she just had 10 kids, but she never was late to church. But I've got a daughter and she's got kids, and we all know these younger people just doesn't move like us old folks do. But what a joy it is to be able to get to the church building. And I know y'all have had a sign up out here for a long time, reserve this part for the pastor. And I said that whenever we built our new building, someone come to me and said, we want to put up a sign out here, you know, that for the reserve this for the pastor, it's where he can park. I said, oh, we don't need that. And you know, it's been 24 years since we built that building, and I never have had anybody to get my place. And the reason I haven't, that I'm the first one there. There's nobody to get my place. Now, I'm not, Brother Ronald, don't take that. But I'm saying, we ought to, it's not just Brother Ronald, but Brother Ronald gets over here at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. What good's it going to do him? I mean, he's nobody to visit with. I'm just saying this. I'm just saying what we do. Y'all, everybody's free to do what they want to. Thank goodness. But I enjoy being able to get up there and people start coming in and we have coffee to drink and to talk and to fellowship, and we move on into the building and we get in there and sing. And, you know, we start at 10:15, and by 11 o'clock, we change the order of service and we start our preaching at 11 o'clock sharp. And down, you know, I'm preaching over here in Tennessee and in Jackson, both days I'm 11:15 when I start my preaching. Now, I'm just saying, if you just get on up and get to church and get on out here and be happy whenever they say, let's go to the house of the Lord. I was on the elevator this morning over there in the hotel where we were staying with some little kids, and they were about that high, and I'm telling you, they were so excited. I said, what are you boys so excited about today? It was three of them. Said, we're going to the football game. Well, you know, that was 8:30 this morning. I don't think that game started till 12. And they was at 8:30 this morning. They were so excited about going to that football game. And just, you know, couldn't wait. I said, where do y'all live? Well, we live in Alabama. They'd come all the way so excited about going to that game today. And the David says here that I was so excited. I was glad when they said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord. If we could ever get to where this is not just a regular hurdle. This flight of hurdles we got in front of us, those are for life. I'll tell you, we got a place we can pull in. We can get off of the track. We don't have to run that flight of hurdles. We don't take the church as just another hurdle and we're going down this track. No, this is rest station. We can pull in and come to the house of the Lord and enjoy the solemnity of it. Oh, what a great joy it is to come out from the hustle and bustle of this world and to come into the solemnity of the house of God. And so I was glad whenever they said, let's go to the house of the Lord. So David encouraged us by his own enthusiasm to go to the house of the Lord. So if all of us could make the commitment to ourselves, and you know, I trust that the Lord will bless you to be able to complete your into your new facility, if that's what the church finally decides to do. and they do that, I think it'll be a great blessing. I think the church will receive blessings from it. I know one little church now that's struggling to try to build them a building, and you know, this one old deacon has been there a long time, and his family's all grown. His wife had passed away, and he's married again, and he's got a few hundred thousand or a million in the bank. And this is the truth, but you know, and visiting with those that are close to the situation, and he is one of the best people I have ever known in my life, bar none. He is the best, as good a person I think that I've ever known. Wonderful and kind and sweet. But his vision is for the church, well, I mean, this is all right. We can remodel. We could build another wing on to this side. And well, they're right by the street. If they build a wing on there, they're going to be almost sticking in the street and so forth and so forth. And what he says makes a lot of sense. But these little kids that are coming along, you know, sometimes people think you want to build a new building. I absolutely had no idea talking about a building tonight. I don't want y'all to think that I'm trying to harp on a building. I'm just saying what was a great blessing for us. And this brother all he can say, well, you know, it's worked fine here. It's warm and it's cool and so forth. But what about these little children coming along? If we would be more mindful of saving what we have. We don't have to attract the world. We don't have to get everybody. I just want to get everybody we can to come right in. But if we never get them, if we could keep, and this brother that's talking had one son and wife and the man's wife that were members of the church. In later years, they left the church and joined a Southern Baptist church, and they are wonderful people. But we want to be able to keep the ones that we have. You might say, well, you mean a building would have kept them? I'm saying, I remember that little church building we had was a little white frame building, and my wife and I were young and out of college, and we had two little girls, and we'd go out there, and everybody else in the church was old, but except Iris and I. We had two male members when we joined that church at Tyler. There was two male members and a few old sisters, and they met once a month. And we used to go out there, load our yard tractor up, drive out there and mow that old dusty yard, and it was a dust. And our two little girls would be inside while we were out there mowing. The two little girls would be inside, and they'd be playing church. Iris would stop and get off the mower. We had two mowers. She'd go in and check, and they just up here singing and playing. And they would just enjoy it, and it was wonderful. But I remember mowing that yard and thinking, you know, one of these days, those little girls in there now are just happy as they can be. But one of these days, they're going to be over here in Hubbard Middle School, junior high at that time they called it. They're going to be over here in Hubbard Middle School, and they're going to have friends. And they're going to be going to school with those friends, and those friends are going to ask them, well, now, where do you go to church? And Sonia and Karen is going to come to the day that they're not going to want to admit that they're going down there to that little white church on the corner. Now, you can say that's pride and vanity and everything you want to say, but so it's the truth of the matter is we our people have got so far behind. Some people can't do anything any different, but if the Lord opens the door, and even in the church that we built, the building itself, the Lord opened the door for us to do it at that time. And in, I think, like 5 or 6 years, we had the building completely paid for. But he opened the door. And then after that, our economy fell apart. We had people that were out of jobs. We could not have done it. We many times have said we couldn't have done it later. We had a window of opportunity. We went through that. We stepped through that door, and God blessed us to be able to do that. So we have to have. The scriptures teach us that where there's no vision, the people perish. I sound like I'm advocating you to get out here and build a new church building because it might make some difference to me. It makes absolutely no difference to me in any kind of way, except I have seen from experience what it does for a church who is willing to look. People says, this man said, well, we don't have enough members at our little church. Everybody doesn't have to build a church the size that Nashville or Jackson, Mississippi's got to build. But at least if you can do something. But you see, they say, well, we can't do that. There's not enough of us to be able to make the payments or be able to do this. We sometimes get in that mode and we take God completely out of the picture. All we're saying is that what we're able to do, you don't know what God's able to do. You don't have a clue what God could do for you if you stepped out on faith. And I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to every little church that is struggling to try to go forward with their self. You don't, sometimes we just take God out of the picture. We say, I can't do that. I can never get my marriage straightened out. I can never get this. I can't do that. Don't take God out of the picture. If God blesses me to solve, we'll be able to solve this problem. You know, put it into the Lord to help us and to bless us. Now, I never did get to where I was going, and I'm just hammered up here so long. I apologize to you for even talking about that in one respect. On the other, I want you to know I'm not talking about it trying to get you to do anything. I'm talking to it from a generic standpoint. I'm talking to it from experience of what happens to churches and the blessings that God blesses them with whenever they exercise some faith and begin to get out and say, I want to do the best I can with what God has blessed us with. David said that in the 133rd Psalm, he says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. That's a blessing there that we cannot comprehend, that whenever we do not have the unity to have everyone pulling on the same page and everyone harnessed up together. I told Brother Ronald this afternoon that I've just been so thrilled. It seemed like the last year that we've just had such great blessings. The church is so enthusiastic. They are happy to be there. And I don't, you know, they probably are some who come who got troubles and trials of life that, you know, maybe doesn't have a good day trying to listen to me hammer around. But for the most part, I think people just love coming to church and love seeing each other and being with each other. And I don't believe for a moment that they're coming there begrudging having to go there. The church is a place that each one of us, and one of us can't do that. I can't just be enthusiastic about the church and not have any help. I've got to have some help from all of these people here. And you know, we have one deacon. He's the most enthusiastic guy, Brother McGee. I mean, you know, he just always, you know, and he's picking at you and going at you and just enthusiastic and we just love some. And Brother Pyle said, don't ever use that word enthusiasm during church. But I'll tell you, sometime we need to have some enthusiasm. We need to pick it up and say, well, this is a wonderful thing we have here. Oh, the Titans, they got a team out there, and they all right. And University of Tennessee, they're all right, and so forth. And I'm a lover of sports. I know how every college team came out yesterday. So I'm a lover of sports too. But I love the church also, and I recognize that it's such an integral part of my life and of my family's life, and my grandchildren. I mean, Haley Ruth, my little four-year-old granddaughter, she is tickled to death. My daughter's got another little baby, and she doesn't come to Wednesday night service. But Haley was run over grandmama to tell her, I want to go to church with you. Because she gets up there, there's 15, 20 other kids, and they want to be there. They're tickled to death to be there. We have Bible study, And I hope this is not being recorded, but we also have an associate pastor. And the associate pastor, I teach the adults, which, you know, in what we're teaching, and he's in another room teaching those little kids. You say, oh, my Brother Stanley, y'all are having Sunday school. You cannot say that. We're having it on Wednesday night. It can't be Sunday school. It may be Wednesday night school, but what it is, it's it's a pastor of the church. He's our associate pastor. He's pastored other churches before and moved back to our area. And I said, Brother David, we were right in the middle of Job. And I think all these little kids, you know, they're coloring and listening, but they're not getting it. I said, Brother David, why don't you take them in yonder and you teach them in their language? And he's been doing it. And those kids love. They're so enthusiastic to come there. When we're still back here in our study going on, I see outside those windows, those little kids are finished and they hit that outside and they're playing and having a wonderful time. The church ought to be a place that we can go and have enjoyment. Now, I believe in the solemnity of the church. I believe that this ought to be a place of that of respect and reverence in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's a lot of other things that go on besides just this worship service that can be very encouraging. It's so encouraging to me on Wednesday night when all of those children are there and we have some singing and we have a prayer, and after that all those kids get up and they go into the other part of the church building and was able to have Bible study in their language. You know, Brother David can teach them about how big that Goliath really was, and that David only had these. Now you say, well, that's real elementary. I want to know how you're going to teach your grandkids whenever they ask you something. Are you going to teach them in a real simplistic way? I know you are. That's all that preacher's doing. And he's an ordained, called man of God to do it. And he's there doing it. So I hope this is not being recorded, because I'll be a non-primitive Baptist when this is over. But I want to encourage you that just because something has been, and every church can't do that. I mean, I understand that. But for our church, it works out just wonderful. It's created such a great atmosphere that those children and the adults and all of us are tickled to death to get to be there. And so anyway, it's wonderful and it's pleasant and it's great and it's for brethren to dwell together in unity. That I was going to preach over in 2 Samuel, and I didn't. I don't think I preached anywhere. I just got up here, and the old people used to come through. I was preaching, you know, and everybody along about the time I was starting out, they was all up here hollering. You know, they were going through a and sing-song preaching, and I raised on it, so I know just how to listen. But I'll tell you, whenever you'd get up and you'd speak like I'm speaking tonight, these old-timers would come through there and they'd shake hands. Well, son, I enjoyed your little talk. And so that's all I'll give y'all tonight, just a little talk. It's not in the form of preaching, and I know that you understand that, but I... like this this woman came through the line and told me, said, I really did enjoy your preaching. I said, well, give God the glory. She looked around and said, it wasn't that good. So this wasn't that good. I know it wasn't. It was just a little talk, but I am just tickled to death to get to come to Nashville to church. And my wife and I are going to leave here, and we're going to drive back down towards Texas. I want to drive home, but she's old, and she wants us to you know, stop down around Jackson or Memphis someplace. So I trust you'll remember us in your prayers that we'll get home safely. You got a great little friend down in Tyler, Texas, in that little church. And as far as we're concerned, we're joined at the hip with you here at Nashville. It just makes me sick that I didn't get to see Ronald all these months, and I get to be with him this afternoon. It just lifts me up. I'm all fired up, wanting to go home, because Brother Ronald just fired me up. He didn't say anything. He listened to the same stuff when we got here. I trust that there's been something said to be a benefit to you. Y'all just keep going here at Nashville. You're a lovely bunch of folks. The Lord's been good to you, and just keep on plugging on. And I hail you that the Lord will just bless you abundantly, that your church will be a place that you just can't wait to go. I want to get up there and be with the folks, and I want to get up there and pray for the preacher. And I want to try to get out of that old habit of starting preaching about 11:15 and him preaching until about 12:15 or 12:30. You know, we can move that up a notch. And so do what you can to make the church all you can do to make it the place to be on Sunday morning and any other time you come together. Thank you very much.